Amen. Wow. Man, when you think about how God's been so good to you, what a great song. The Bible says, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest display of friendship, of love that has ever been given anywhere, anytime, from anyone, ever, was when Jesus Christ gave his life and sacrifice for all of us. If you're here today and you have never personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to assure you that that is the greatest sacrifice, that is the greatest gift that has ever been given. It is the greatest opportunity that anyone has ever been afforded. And that is that you can simply, by faith, invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. And because of what he's did for you, because he died, because he shed his blood, and because he rose again from the dead, you, yourself, personally, can have a relationship with God, and you can have your sins forgiven, and you can be certain that heaven is your home when you die. Boy, I couldn't be any more thankful for that. And I couldn't be any more excited to share anything else with you. If you gave me 30 seconds with you and said, just tell me anything you want to tell me, that's what I would tell you, because that matters absolutely most. And I pray today, if you've not accepted him, you would open up your heart and welcome Jesus into your life today. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke 11, if you would, please. Luke 11. And I'm so excited about the rest of this day. This day's just getting started. We're going to have a great day tonight at 6 o'clock at Hannah Park in Lot 8. Not in the lot. We're going to meet at the lot. There's going to be a beach baptism tonight. I want you all to come. It's going to be spectacular. We're going out early. Bring your kids. Bring some lawn chairs. It's going to be great. If you need the $5 to get in the park, let me know. We'll give you the $5. But everybody come tonight. So excited for Josh. Josh accepted Christ as his Savior just last week, or at least let me know last week. Let's give it up for Josh. So thankful for you, Josh. And then we have another young man right here that's going to get baptized. Remind me your name, buddy. Tony. Give it up for Tony. Tony's following Christ tonight. So excited for Tony. And maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ. Today's the day, man. Today's your day. If you've never followed in baptism, what a great night tonight to profess your faith to those in the church and those your friends and family members around you that you've accepted Christ. Come on out to the beach tonight, 6 o'clock, and we'll have a baptism service there. And just hang out as a church, rejoicing in what the Lord has done. I want to welcome our guest. If you haven't had the opportunity to fill out a connection card, there's one of these right in the seat back pocket in front of you. Take a minute, fill that out. Let us know that you were here. If we can help you or serve you in any way, please, I hope that you would let us know. Today, I'm going off script here a little bit. This, for the next few weeks, I've been preaching through Genesis, and the Lord has just really impressed it on my heart to just stop for a minute and do a few other messages. And specifically, the month of August, I want to kind of focus on rebooting. And the idea that summer's over. I was talking to, I think, Gavin before church, and Gavin, I said, man, when you start school, he just looked at me and he said, tomorrow. Yikes. How many of your kids are going to school tomorrow? How many of you like that? Wow, it's terrible. It's just awful. Summer's basically over. It doesn't feel like it outside, but summer's basically over. And a lot of times, you know how it is in the summer. You get off. Things get off. Vacation gets thrown in the middle there. Your kids are out of school. I'm trying to figure out who decided that all kids would take like 3 months off of school? Who decided that that was a good idea? This is the worst idea ever, okay? And it just disrupts everything. But now we're getting back, swing of things. And now, hopefully, you're kind of getting settled in. Maybe you just took a last quick trip. Maybe you're, you know, going to settle back into work, settle back into school. It's time to refocus for a few minutes. It's time to refocus. And I'm going to take the next several weeks and refocus. I know last week I talked about prayer. I'm going to talk about prayer today. Last week I talked about it more from a corporate perspective. But if there's one area that all of us could use a reboot in, it's probably personal prayer. If I were to ask anybody in this room, do you feel like your prayer life is solid? Or maybe this question: would you like to improve the quality of your prayer life? I would imagine we would be over 90%. And there might be one or two like hyper spiritual people in the room that are like, nah, I'm good. Things are really good. I don't think I could use any tweak here. I mean, I just, you know, pretty much pray about 4 hours a day, and that's before I have breakfast, and then I go back in for a couple of hours, and I mean, I've just experienced nothing but answers to prayer, don't have any challenges or problems. I think most of us would be like, that is not where I am. And I'm in this journey with you. If there's one thing I would tell you over the last 12 months that I have personally been working on myself, it has been a complete renovation and revamping of my own prayer life. And I'm thankful for it. It has been a blessing. And I wanted to share some of this stuff with you. Now, last week we talked about corporate prayer. We should be praying together, but I think we all know we should have time every day where we spend with Christ in prayer. Every Christian, it is their greatest opportunity. It is the greatest privilege that any of us would ever have. I mean, could you imagine if I said to you today, I mean, if I said, guys, this is amazing. Tonight, after baptism, after the beach baptism, about 7 o'clock or so, we've got a unique opportunity for President Donald Trump. He's going to meet us right back here at River City Baptist Church, and he's just giving us 2 hours. Of his time. We can get photo ops, we can get signatures, we can talk to him, we can hang out with him, and just look, all you need to do, just be sure to dress up a little bit and be here at 7 o'clock, and it's just River City. You know you're here. Every one of you are here. Every one of you are here early. Every one of you are going to stay here as long as you can milk it for, like him or not. Just because you get the opportunity to be with the president. You get the opportunity any day, every day, at any time you want to meet with the God of the universe. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is this simple: communication with God. And I want to encourage you. In fact, I'm assuming today's message will be a little prayer countercultural to you, because I think sometimes our prayers are really struggling, really limping along. Most of us are not where we want to be, and we don't even know how to get there. I don't know about you, but in my life, I've heard lots of sermons on prayer. Most of them, it goes something like this: you don't pray enough, shame on you. And I walk away going, you're exactly right. I don't pray enough, and I really want to, but I really don't know how to. So today's message is a how-to. How do you pray? Let's look at what the Bible says. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass as he, Jesus, capital H there, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to stop reading right there. You may note in Matthew 6, another phrase is added. It says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is Luke's account of what we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want to label the message this morning, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, would you anoint and bless this sermon? Would you help us? Lord, would you turn us into praying people? Lord, we're always on praying ground. We have a prayer answering God. We have promises in the Bible that teach us to pray. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn today, that we would grow today, and that we would be people who pray, not just know how to pray, but that we will, in fact, pray. For these things are prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the 60s and on into even today, one of the most famous actors in American history was Dick Van Dyke, or is, I should say, Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke became popular with the Dick Van Dyke Show, 1961 to 1966, and then, of course, really became popular with his role as the chimney sweep in Mary Poppins. Dick Van Dyke's style of comedy, his style of acting, is known as observational comedy. Observational comedy is someone observing and watching everyday ordinary things that people say and do, and then turning it and milking it into comedy. Today, modern day people would be like Nate Bargatze. He's an observational comedian. He looks at what people do. He looks at the funny things that people do, and then he talks about it, and it all gets us rolling. Why? Because we all see it, right? We all see it. We can all experience it. Observational comedy. He was very good at watching that. In fact, it's said that when he took that role in Mary Poppins, that he went to England, that he studied those chimney sweeps at that time, and he learned what it was like to look like them, talk like them, to be British or whatever it was, and to really kind of get, as it were, into character. In Luke chapter number 1, verse 11, we find a moment in the life of Jesus where an observational routine took place. It wasn't observational comedy. It was observational prayer. The Bible very plainly says in Luke 11, verse 1, that Jesus was praying. He was obviously praying in the presence of his disciples. This was not an abnormal situation for Jesus. He prayed all the time. Jesus is the model for us about prayer, about dependence upon God, about a walk with his heavenly Father. And the Bible says here, as one of his disciples saw him pray, saw him stop praying, he said this to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray in the same way that John," that would be John the Baptist, "taught his disciples to pray." By the way, this would have been a very, very common practice for rabbis in this day. Jesus was known by his disciples and others as a rabbi, a teacher. And the Bible uses the word disciple often in the New Testament. A disciple literally means learner. And New Testament rabbinic teachers, their disciples, their mentees, if you will, were those who not only heard what they said, but they mimicked what they did. They listened to their words, but then they also watched their lives, which, by the way, is the best way for instruction to take place. The best way for instruction to take place is multidimensional. You can hear teaching, you can see by observation, and when you put that all together and you're not just hearing lessons, but you're actually watching a life, that's when you're going to learn. Here, this disciple has heard Jesus talk about prayer. He's watched Jesus pray. And now he says, "Lord, I want you to teach us how to pray." I got to tell you, I want to sit under that lecture, don't you? I want to put myself in that classroom. I want to know what Jesus says and models about prayer. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and then again in Matthew chapter 6, I believe verses 8 through 13, you see what we have commonly come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Most of you, when I started reading those verses, you could probably have quoted them. And most of you probably learned them in an older translation of the Bible, the King James. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," right? Most of us could recite it almost by heart. Maybe we learned it when we were kids in church. You certainly heard of the Lord's Prayer, no doubt. But folks, I want you to understand, the Lord's Prayer was not given to us as something to just recite in a vain, repetitious way. In fact, when you go to Matthew's account of this in chapter number 6, verses 7 down through 13, I believe it is, Jesus actually says these words, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the Pharisees use." These people were known for reciting prayers, for having prayer books, people being led in prayer to pray these specific things. Some religions even do this today. People pray things like the rosary, and they pray repetitious prayers over certain things and use certain words as if the power were in these recited words. Jesus says, "I don't want you to pray like that." The goal of this sermon is not to leave memorizing this prayer and praying it all the time when you feel like you're in trouble. That's not the point. Jesus says, "I don't want you to pray like that. I don't want you to just pray in vain, empty, repetitious words. I don't want you to just repeat my name 1,000 times when you pray. I don't want you to just pray, 'Lord, be with my friends. Lord, bless my kids. Lord, be with them. Lord, bless them.'" I mean, how many times has that been, quite frankly, the extent of how we pray? Jesus is not giving you a prayer to recite. Jesus has given you a framework to revolutionize how you pray. He's saying, pray like this. Pray in this way. Pray after this format, if you will. So today I want to show you that format. I want to show you from how Jesus instructed his disciples what your prayer life should look like and what mine should look like. It doesn't matter how long you pray, because you can pray for 1 second or you can pray for 1 hour. It doesn't matter where you pray, because you can pray while you're driving, you can pray at church, or you can pray at home. It doesn't matter for what you pray, because the truth of the matter is anything that is on your heart can be something that you share with God. There is no limit to where we pray. There is no limit to how long we pray. There is no limit to with whom we pray, what posture we pray in. But the only limit that we will put on God is if we don't pray the way he wants us to pray. Now, let me give you simply 4 statements today about prayer that I think will change your life. Number one, prayer is upward. Prayer is upward. Prayer, first and foremost, is about God. Notice how the prayer starts. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Then he starts talking about request. So the first stop on the journey of prayer is that we pray upward. Here's a scripture I love in Psalm 100 and verse 4. It says this: "We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise." You may be asking, why did you read Psalm 33 in public today? Why did you talk about who God is? I'll tell you why. Because if I'm going to approach God, the way to get into God's presence, the way to have a place of hearing with God, is by acknowledging, worshiping, and thanking God for who he is. Notice this. It says that true prayer exalts the name and the nature of God. Watch this. "Our Father," that's his name, "which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's who he is. And folks, true praise, true prayer begins by acknowledging God. Somebody came up to me last week, I think it was, maybe been Jeff back there. And Jeff said, "Preacher, I got to ask you a question. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Jeff. I guess I'm already in now." And so Jeff walked up to me and said, "Preacher," he said, "I got a question for you." This was a great question. Think about this. This was a great question. How do I praise? I'm telling you right now, you're supposed to praise the Lord. We all know that, right? I could give you 110 verses right now on praise without hardly taking a breath, okay? They're everywhere in the Bible. The Bible commands us to praise God, right? And I love the question last week, how do I do that? So I'm going to give you the simplest illustration that I know how to give. With your children, when you are encouraging behavior, when they're growing up and they're learning things and they're doing things well, one of the best things that you can do to encourage positive behavior in your children is what? Exalting and honoring what they do and what they do well. So for instance, if you've been teaching your kids how to go to the bathroom, or you've been teaching your kids about not touching this or not doing that, one of the best things that you can do is do what? "Hey, good job, Braxton. You did awesome, buddy. I'm so glad that you did that. Good job." What am I doing? Essentially, praising him.
essentially saying, this is who you are, and this is what you did. And like, you know, I love when Wes will say something like this in the service. Let's give a hand clap of praise for God. Now you say, that's kind of cheesy. That's kind of weird. Whatever. Here's what it is. Here's somebody trying to acknowledge that's what we do. We're saying to God, you're awesome. You are great. And you did an amazing job. Now, here's the thing you need to understand about God. God is the greatest. God is the highest. God is the ultimate and supreme being of the universe. He is in charge. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the God of all of eternity. And every ounce of praise that we would throw at him, he is worthy of every bit of it. And it's how we acknowledge our relationship with him. And when he sees a child look at him and say, you are great, he says, that child gets it. Now watch this. When you come to Christ like this, God, I'm coming to you, praising you, I'm thanking you, you are acknowledging our Father in heaven. You're acknowledging that he's in heaven, but you have access to him. You can call God your father. Did you know that not everybody can call God their father? The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you have to become something, that means you aren't. The only way to become a son of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way to get access to God is through Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ is the high priest. You say, what does that mean? It means the high priest is the one that presents men to God. So the fact that Jesus is our high priest means this. He is the only one that can present you to God. So every time you pray, you are coming to your heavenly Father on the merits of Jesus Christ, and you are acknowledging him. You are glorifying him because only through Christ do we even have the privilege to pray. Now, let me show you how this is different from what we commonly do. What we commonly do is we rush into God only when we want something or when we need something. And we are not acknowledging him, and we are not offering thanks to him for who we know him to be. And to be quite honest with you, when that's the only way we ever talk to God, can I just say this? That's kind of rude. When you don't really care about God, all you care is what he can give you or what he can do for you, or the only relationship you have with him is similar to the same relationship your kids have with Santa Claus. Every once in a while, you'll rub the genie's lamp, hoping for 3 wishes. Are we talking about a relationship with God here, or are we talking about a fairy tale? Which one do you have? You see, prayer is upward. The second thing is this, prayer is downward. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Watch this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Watch this. On earth as it is in heaven. You see, prayer is downward. Prayer is not about you getting your will done in heaven. It's about God getting his will done on earth. Prayer is an exchange. Folks, when you are really praying, you're not trying to get what you want. You're trying to get what God wants. When you're really praying, you would rather have God's will than anything because, as you know, God's will is best for all of our lives. In fact, James puts it this way. He says, you have not because you ask not. And then he adds, you ask and receive not because you ask it amiss that you may consume it on your own lusts. You know what I've learned about prayer? When I am praying at my worst, I'm mostly praying for my own personal creature comforts. And all that I'm really looking for is a little bit of a relief from a burden. A little bit more money in my checking account. A little bit of relief from physical suffering. And yet the Bible says what we should be praying is God's will to be done on earth. That's why it is so important for Scripture to be the basis of how you pray and the Spirit to be leading you in what to pray and how to pray. Did you know that according to Romans chapter number 8, we do not even know what we are supposed to pray for like we ought to pray? I might be praying something thinking God's going to hear this, and God might not be within a mile of it because we are praying for our will rather than His. The only way to be certain that you are praying in Jesus' name, that's under His authority, that you are praying the will of God and His will be done, is when you are putting yourself under the authority of the Word of God, and the Word of God is guiding you into prayer. That's why when you wake up in the morning, friend, you ought to be starting your day with this book open, and you ought to be starting your day saying, Lord, teach me, show me yourself, show me what you want, and then I'm going to live in submission to that. And now I'm praying that the counsel of the Lord will stand, that nothing that I want will stand, but only what God wants will stand. And that's how I'm praying downward. Now you evaluate your prayer for just a minute. Evaluate it. I've heard people share prayer requests. Is there a place to pray for physical healing? Absolutely. Absolutely. We should. But let me ask you this question. Why do you want healed? Why do you want healed? Do you want healed so that God's name will be greater, will be known more, will be glorified? Why the financial provision? Why, for instance, would I ask for financial provision if nothing in my financial life demonstrates that the kingdom has rulership over my life? Because maybe God knows if I give you more, you're just going to do more for yourself. And some people get stuck in these selfish, self-centered routines of prayer. And folks, we need to transform the way that we pray. We need to first pray upward. We need to acknowledge God. We need to next pray downward, His will on earth, not our will in heaven. But then next we see prayer is inward. Now this is what we all want to get to. But notice it's a third place in the list. Watch this. Give us day to day our daily bread. Here is your permission to pray inward. That is, pray for what I need. Pray for the supply. Pray for what God needs to do in my life and in the lives of those around me. And I want to tell you, there are legitimate prayer requests. This is your ticket, if you will, to pray and talk to God. And by the way, if you are worshiping God, and your heart is lined up with His will on earth, not your will in heaven, guess what? You're actually going to pray for the right things. And when you pray, listen to this. There's two things we all are praying about all the time. You ready? Number one, resources. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the two words in that verse that are my favorite, day and daily. You know what it tells me? It tells me that prayer should be a daily adventure, that I should wake up in every day dependent on God for the needs of the day. You have needs today. Everybody does. Give us this day, Lord. I'm talking to you today. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm not talking about tomorrow. All I've got is today. Lord, I'm asking you to take care of me today. Help me to get up today. Help me to have strength today. Help me to make it through this day. Help me to work this day. Supply my needs this day. Lord, we're trusting you for this day. So every time you pray about something, it's usually a resource, number one, something you need, or number two, get this, or a relationship. He says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as what? We forgive those that have sinned against us. That's relationship issues. Now, how many of you have ever been burdened? You don't have to raise your hand. You've ever been burdened by a relationship issue. You've had something going on with someone and it's bothering you. It's burdening you. You know what God says? I want you to practice forgiveness. I want you to lay those burdens down here, and I'm willing to forgive you of your own sins as you are willing to forgive those that have sinned against you. Can I assure you that God is most interested in your relationship with Him than He is just that you are asking Him for stuff? And here's what He says. If you bring a gift to the altar and remember that your brother has a problem with you, you should leave your gift at the altar and go take care of it with your brother, Matthew chapter 5, and then return and pray. And God's looking at some of us today going, let me ask you a question. Why do you keep praying when you've got this problem with this other person and you won't take care of it? Go take care of it. And Matthew chapter 18 says, if it is bound on earth, it is bound in heaven. If it is loosed on earth, it's loosed in heaven. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything, what is he talking about? Read Matthew 18. It's about forgiveness. It's about right relationships. And he says, if two of you can agree on something, if you can loose that bitterness and that unforgiveness, and you're willing to walk away from that and come together in harmony with someone that you are not in harmony with, he is saying, I will start listening and answering your prayer. For some of us, our prayers are hindered because our relationships are not what they are supposed to be. And God says, I can take care of your relationships. I can supply your resources. Those are your personal needs. And then he says this, pray outward. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. There are two great prayers you can pray for yourself every single morning. You ready? Based upon what I've read in your word, based upon what we've talked about today, God, I'm ready for you to do two things for me today. Number one, lead me. Lead me. How many of you want your days to be ordered by the Lord? How many of you want every day to know that God was in it, that God led each step, and that I followed him today? You know, the Christian life is not complicated. I can tell you how to live it. Wake up today, take steps that honor God, follow God today, and rest your head on your pillow tonight knowing that you followed Jesus. Ask the Lord to lead you, and then watch this. Ask him to deliver you. You are going to encounter people that are going to be problematic. You're going to encounter temptations that are going to ensnare you. You are going to encounter worries and troubles and difficulties. And you know what you can pray ahead of those things? God, when I get there, I'm asking you to deliver me. I'm asking you to rescue me. I'm asking you to help me, Lord. Basically, here's what I'm saying. I need you today. And every day that I go without praying, or without praying like God wants me to pray, I'm basically saying this, God, I'm good. I'm good. But how about a revival as we go into this fall of people that genuinely, genuinely feel in their heart they need to trust God and genuinely are ready to lay their burdens at God's feet, and they're willing to praise him before they ask him for anything. And you know what? Maybe that's the trick today. Maybe somebody just needs to say, you know what? Just like in Israel, you know, when they went into battle, you know who went out on the front lines of the battle and led the battle? It was the band. Because praise came before battle. And here's the bottom line. Folks, listen. I need to be willing and able to praise God before the answer, not just thank him after the answer. I go into battle praising God. Praise is my weapon of choice. Praise is the way I take up arms. I go into this life. I fight for my kids on my knees. I fight for them in a closet with God, thanking him and praising him. He's already got it covered. I got to raise my kids in a crazy world, don't you? I can cover them today. I can cover them with praise. I can cover them with protection as I'm in my closet with God, asking God for these things. Listen, friend, this is a day. This is a day. Yeah, we're going to pray in public, okay? But I know this. I know that if every heart in this room is not tuned up to Christ, here's what you're going to do. While we're praying, you're going to be doing whatever else you're doing. That's why every individual has to have their heart tuned to God so that then we together can be tuned to his praise and his prayer. I'm inviting you to a revolution, a reboot in your own personal relationship with God. Let's pray together if we could.